Hello, who don't like that sound of automobile? And by now you must have guessed what my podcast is going to be about. Yep, this entire podcast is about automobile and the world of automobile servicing. In this podcast of Desiro Stories, we are connecting with an F3 car designer, automobile expert, and our startup entrepreneur. We will be talking to the founder of Beyond Garage, which is right now this Hyderabad-based mechanics firm meant for two-wheelers and four-wheelers. So we're talking to Mehmood Kotabagal, who will actually take us through his journey from his campus wherein he has designed cars, and how did he kind of follow his passion towards starting a venture on his own, and the same way, how did he find a gap in the industry of servicing, and how is Beyond Garage gonna fill it and kind of be the one-stop online solution for all the services and repairs of any two-wheelers or bikes. Also, I have this itch of asking about EVs, because EVs is the thing right now. I had to catch up with Mehmood about EVs, and he shared some good insights about it. Well, off the track, I also had a lot of discussion on F1. I'm just brushing my knowledge on F1. Yes, it's a good talk. I will share this maybe in the additional recordings, maybe after this in a while. But yeah, this conversation throws light on many aspects of car servicing and how Beyond Garage as a whole can actually fit the bill for us in the coming days. And here is this podcast, my conversation with Mohammed Kotebagal, the founder of Beyond Garage. All right.
If I walk down the memory lane, that how I started getting a passion towards automobile field or motorsport was like, it was from school days, like watching a Formula One at that time. Watching a red car, which is a Ferrari. So watching a Ferrari car and betting on a Ferrari car. Okay, this is my car and this is going to be like a champion. This is going to be winning car. So that something started initial time during school days or early college days, where I started generating a passion for this motorsports. I think it happens with a lot of 90s people also, that when they are in the school, they walk this, they see this kind of sports on the television. I think that's when we start this kind of interest towards this field. Then I think after my initial college, I opted for the mechanical engineering, where I did my engineering from one of a reputed college from Karnataka called Gokte Institute of Technology, where I had an opportunity to participate in Formula 3 open wheel race car designing and manufacturing.
Okay.
So that experience was crazy. I mean, thrilling experience. So far, I don't know, like I had something similar experience so far in my life compared to that experience. So it was in 2009, between 2009 and 11, where I had an opportunity to be a part of a college team, F3 team called Lakshya Racing. So where we designed this car, manufactured the car in-house, and then we drove it on Madras Motorsports Racetrack, which was one of racetrack that time, the popular racetrack used to be.
Yeah.
Right. And then in 2011, we got an opportunity to race it at BIC, both international circuit, which is the international one, Noida. Right. So that was one of the international F1 circuit what we have on the calendar. But unfortunately, the events are not happening right now in India.
Yeah. 2015, but, ke baad, I think they shut it down.
Correct. Yeah. So it was only one event happened in 2011. And then after that, they made it for the commercialized for the local testing or local driving experience only. So we had an opportunity to be present in both the circuit where we designed, drove the vehicle, and we had won few of the innovative awards. Where like what we did is like we tried to replicate this F3 car to a kind of F1 car in terms of configuration, in terms of the acceleration, in terms of braking, or in terms of the driver ejection. Let's assume that if something happens in the car, so we want to, the driver has to get out from the car within 10 seconds of time. So all those things into consideration, so we designed the car, and there was a rule book provided by an international body called Society of Automobile Engineering, SAE. So where they had given a rule book of around 250 pages, where we used to design or we used to stick to our regulations set by that organization.
Okay.
And that's how we designed and successfully raised it. And that was one of the first project, international or national project, we did it in our college. Even before that, a lot of team, a lot of our senior tried to do that, but couldn't succeed. I think as it's the first of the project in college, so there were a lot of challenges which we faced, and the always challenge of resource, always challenge of money, challenge of coping up with education or academic along with the project. So all those things were there. So one thing I can recall at the moment, one incident, so which was very like, it shows that how dedicated we were at that time. Okay, so it was a sixth semester. That was first time we started designing our car. So I was in engineering sixth semester, that is like third year of engineering before one more years is there. So we started assembling the car at night, and it was around like 2 o'clock midnight or early morning, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. So we assembled the car on the same day we have final exams. So we went back to hostel or room and then started studying, and then took a nap of half an hour or 1 hour, and then went back to college and attended the exam, and again came back to garage where we again started working on the project itself. So there was something like where we felt that, okay, the academic is something different. So this is our mission for the life now. So we took it like a mission where we want to do it. There's no other option.
Yeah.
So that was a dedication from the team. I think it's all about like, we had seen a small startup in the in college itself. It's like starting from scratch and making it a success and gathering the team and then coping up with the challenges, what it throws. So I think it was a kind of a small startup experience that we all felt during our college life itself.
Who was the driver for your cars?
So there was a driver from college itself. The event, what the criteria was that we have to select one driver from our college itself, from our team member itself. So the first time the driver was from a Goa guy. He's from Goa. So he has also good experience in racing or touring, and also has a good passion towards motorsports. So his name is Ashwin Shettye.
Okay.
So, and another second time, I think we had a driver, Shreyas Desai. He's from Belgaum. So all people are like-minded people, because that's how I think we group together and form the team and form this, I mean, manufacture the car eventually. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that was till the end of engineering mostly?
Yeah. So I think there was a time where the project was still going on. I was, we completed our engineering, but we stayed back. We did not join the companies. We said the company that, okay, we don't want to join. So there are some reasons. We told them there are a few reasons that there is a family function, there's an emergency in the family and all. We stayed back for a couple of months and then completed the project and went to BIC and drove the car there and then came back and then directly joined the company.
This sounds so interesting. It's like sounding like a nice film. This is a good adventure, actually.
Right.
So then you moved on to corporate, right? So just give me like a glimpse about your corporate life. But at the same time, I am very curious about, well, you have a startup experience, startup dynamic, startup dynamics when you're in campus, right?
Right.
At the same time, how did your corporate experience kind of brought in that whole visioning, wholesomeness, bring the wholesomeness into you, whatever you're thinking? Take me through your corporate journey also quickly.
Sure. I mean, I got an opportunity to work with one of the finest company in India or in the world called Siemens. Siemens. Yeah. So Siemens is a company which has a multiple products. When we take about oil and gas, they have a product for jet engines. They have oil extraction rigs or turbines. So I was into the oil and gas industry. So the fortunate part was that I hired as a project manager.
Okay.
So I used to handle the projects, which ranges from a million euro to 130 million euro. During 4 years of journey with Siemens, I handled multiple projects in that order value. So as a project manager, the good part was that, again, you are the owner of the project. You are the person who is a decision maker for the project, right? Then you drive the team, you collaborate the team, you build the team, and then put the team into an action. So at the end, you get the project delivered, or you meet the customer expectation, or you meet the or exceed the management expectations also, right? So that was something, give me a holistic view how the business works, okay? And looking at the past experience of building this F3 car, so that gave me a sense that, okay, I'm a person who can go for a risk-taking role, or a person who can take a challenge to do something else. So that I think after getting an experience of around 4 years with the Siemens, and after having a experience of building cars twice, so I felt that, okay, the corporate job may not be the job for me for a longer duration. So I would like to go with starting something on my own, where probably I had a plan to go abroad and join F1 team or Formula team, not F1 team specifically, a Formula team, where I had an opportunity to join the Formula Motorsports race course for 1 year. The course was sponsored in UK. But there was a fees attached to it. The half of the course was sponsored and half of the course was fees attached to it. So I had to go to UK and explore the opportunity with the motorsports. But unfortunately, with the challenges at the family level, so I couldn't pursue that one. So then I started realizing, okay, now let's assume that I go and start my course in UK for motorsports. And after that, I probably start my career with motorsport or some of the team. And eventually I have a plan to start something my own, right? So probably I may need to come down to India, maybe after a few years. So that was something I started thinking that, okay, why don't I start something right now itself, where I can start looking into same area which I'm passionate about. So that's something started curiosity. And in 2016, I started my first venture. So that venture was started by one of a true incident that happened with me when I was with Siemens. As a project manager, I was working there. So I'm a fond of vintage vehicles also, right? So I bought MR RX 135 1990 vehicle, and I restored it around by investing around half a lakh rupees during that time, maybe around 2015 or 16 time.
Okay.
And the restoration was okay. Initially, it gave me a good feeling initially, but after a few days of time, I started feeling trouble with my bike. So that incident started the company initially in 2016. The main reason was when I felt an issue with that vehicle after restoration, so I took it to garage, a local garage who has done the restoration. And I asked him that, boss, I'm facing this issue, so can you resolve it? So he said that, I cannot do it. You have to pay me 10,000 more. So I will then do it. So that was really surprising for me at the time. So I took the vehicle to another workshop, and then I asked the feedback from them. They said that the restoration is not done well, so you have to get the restoration done again. So I went to the authorized service center. They said something similar. So it was putting me in the loop where I was going from one workshop to another workshop and not coming out from the issue which I'm facing. So that's curiosity started in 2016, where I started doing some market research to find out, is there any company which can take ownership of servicing? Is there any company can be a single point of a contact for you to give you professional service? Because I come from a professional background, and I don't want to be in the circle where I just keep going from one workshop to another workshop, right? So that something was a research which I did in early time in 2016. And when I did a market research just through a very nominal market channels. I couldn't find any company who take ownership of the servicing at that time. There were yellow pages companies like JustDial, like a Google My Business page. That will not help you because they just can help you to find out who is a nearby mechanic, but they will not take your ownership of the servicing cycle, or they won't take a customer journey into consideration.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something started curiosity and left the job at Siemens, which was a high paying job. It was difficult to convince family also initially. So I thought, okay, I would like to change the job. I mean, leave the job. And my earlier Siemens job location was in Baroda, Gujarat.
Okay.
So I relocated from Gujarat to Bangalore, and initially time was like very difficult, where I whatever the saving which I had, so it was going through the education loan which I had earlier. So then I thought, okay, I don't have any saving at the moment. So what happened is that I joined Infosys call center night shift job, where I started working for a night shift at Infosys. And during daytime, I used to work for my startup called Doers. That startup name was D-O-E-R-S, Doers. Okay.
So D-O-U-R-S.
D-O-E-R-S.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So that startup was into online car and bike servicing, and where we used to take care of servicing for cars and also for bikes for users and also for businesses. When I say businesses, like renting businesses or corporate businesses. Okay. Sure. So it was not same as what I was intended to do in terms of motorsport, but it's something similar to automobile. I thought, okay, let me settle here. Probably I'll do something on motorsports eventually later on, once this business gets established further.
Okay.
So the Doers was started with a good market research, where we went to a field across multiple metro and non-metro cities of India in 2017 time, where we did a market research to understand the customers' feedback about how they see this industry, whether there are actually problems are present in this industry or not. So we did a market research with a 4,000 plus sample. Okay. And so we got a surprising results that around 87% of the people said that there are problems in this industry. Mm-hmm. And we categorized this problem mainly into one was that the availability and accessibility. A lot of people said that the service may be available in my location, but getting the immediate access or calling the mechanic to come and do the repairing at my location is difficult. So accessibility is the issue. Sometimes the service won't be available at all in my location, so I have to travel and find out a service. So that availability and accessibility is a challenge at the moment. Second thing, what we understood from the users is that when the vehicle goes to authorized service center or a local workshop, so initially they do a diagnostic, right? And then after that, they keep on changing the estimation. They say that, okay, there are some extra work, there are some other work. So at the end, customers end to pay up something high, which was not expected. So there was multiple scrutiny or multiple reporting or estimation happens. So that was the second problem.
What you are absolutely right. I want to interrupt here. This is something is such a scary thing for us. Whenever we drop a car or a bullet to this thing, you will get one call after and after 2 hours, they'll get one more call.
Correct.
And after that, I mean, during the day, you'll get at least multiple calls and where the valuation estimation increases.
Correct. So,
and you actually get a heart attack by the evening, basically. That number will actually go into something else, which is out of control.
Correct, right. I mean, that's what happens with a lot of users. And the third problem, what we have identified from a user's side is that they said that there's no proper quality check or ownership. I mean, the person just take a test drive of a vehicle once it's ready, but no one is bothered to check the stage report or check at the in between stages if everything is going right or not. So there's a poor certification or poor quality checks happens in this industry that eventually, the reliability becomes an issue, the service reliability becomes an issue. And the last, I think, but not the least, is about the price factor. So when we go to authorized service center, a lot of people go to authorized service center because of the brand name. And when we go with authorized service center, what happens is like you end up paying 100% for the 50% of the value of the service. Right, so that is another issue where people felt that a lot of charges are quite high, and also the authorized service center tend to change the parts which can be repairable or which can go for next duration also, next service duration also. So that's something what we also heard from the users when we did a market research. But after understanding all these things, we formed a company Beyond Garage and took a feedback or reviews from around 2,500 users about our app, and there was a positive response. I think that's how we started in 2017 Beyond. Tours. So Doers was started in 2017 effectively, where we started working initially only one area of Bangalore, very small area, and then we expanded from Bangalore to Hyderabad, all across Karnataka also, and multiple locations of Telangana and Karnataka.
So it's been 4 years already.
So Doers, it's like 2017 we started. In 2020, Doers got merged into a company called Beyond Garage.
Okay.
So the Beyond Garage, there was an entity like Garage Private Limited. Okay, yeah. So where Doers in 2020, when we were going through the pandemic duration, like the first COVID wave, so we got an opportunity to collaborate with a company where the Beyond Garage, like the Garage Private Limited is a company registered name and the brand name is Beyond Garage. Okay.
Sure.
So the Garage Private Limited was formed where Doers came into picture, and there was another company, the spare parts company in Hyderabad, the company called Auto Parts Hub, and that was founded by the entrepreneur or a business person, Nirav Modi. He is not that Modi. Nirav is Modi. So he has founded a spare parts supply business in Hyderabad, and I was founded a service side of the business in Bangalore, and there was a co-founder or a director from US who also brings expertise in terms of technology, technology in terms of automobile, or the expertise in terms of automobile technology and expertise in terms of marketing. So his name is Mike Dubey. So we all three got into collaboration and formed the company Garage Private Limited and the brand name Beyond Garage. And this was formed in October 2020.
Okay. So if I ask, let's say, what is the entire spectrum of services and offerings from the world of Beyond Garage?
Right. So Beyond Garage, like the most important factor here is that we are not an aggregator who just connects the customer and the workshop. Rather, we are a service-based company which take complete customer journey into consideration. Okay, so when it comes to our portfolio, so we provide anything and everything related to car and bike service. Okay, it may be minor repair, it may be general servicing, it may be body work or accidental work. So whatever it is, a restoration work also. So we take care of a complete servicing for two-wheeler and four-wheeler. And we also have a supply of spare parts. We supply the spare parts to garages. We supply the spare parts to online customers who orders the spare parts through us. So we also provide a spare part supply. And another thing is that we have Beyond Garage business, called Beyond Garage business section, where we provide services to businesses. Like we have a tie-up with the renting companies, we have a tie-up with the insurance companies, we have a tie-up with the corporate companies, where we provide services for the corporates or renting companies to maintain their fleet of the vehicles. So it's about the portfolio, what we are taking over at the moment. And another thing which I would like to add here is that we have a service segment where we have a service at a doorstep also, at a garage also. It goes with the customer convenient. If customer needs service at a doorstep, you want to see in front of, you want to see the vehicle servicing in front of him. So we arrange a service at a doorstep also. And we also have a service at a garage also that goes with the customer convenience.
Oh, that's interesting. I think that's the biggest pain area, what you have mentioned. I think the sample and the research might have a valid, because there is no organized structure to this entire servicing industry, whereas it's the industry as a overall, it's cross more than billion and trillion the market size, the potential is huge.
Correct.
But the life cycle is totally mismatched.
Correct.
That's where Beyond Garage, I hope, has a big picture to play, a bigger role to play, in fact, in structuring this entire thing, actually.
Yes, definitely. Another thing I would like to mention is about the technicians, what we have, the workshops, what we have. It's not like any workshops we are tied up or any technicians we have. So we have adopted an international certification body called ASC, Automobile Service Excellence. So what happens with that certification body is that when you certify your organization or your workshop with that body, so there will be a standardization in terms of resources, what type of resources you need to have, what kind of education people you need to have, so what type of how many people you need to have, all those things will be taken into consideration. So at the end, what happens is like we are trying to build a standardization from one workshop to another workshop to another workshop, right? Yeah. So at the end, the customer journey, if you or I walk into one workshop today, so if I walk into another workshop tomorrow of Beyond Garage, so there is no change in the quality, there is no change in the process. So there's a standardization, which is very important in this unorganized industry, which I believe. And that's the reason, that's how we have kept our vision of the company also to organize and standardize the world automotive service needs and provide quick, transparent and affordable solution. That's what the vision which we every day come to office to work towards that vision.
One thing which interests me and a lot of others who are kind of really work in the industry here,
right,
is the shift of mobility towards electronic mobility, from the fuel-based mobility to electronic mobility, mobility.
Yeah.
So what do you see? How do you see this? Basically, what are the drivers you see? Do you see any promise in the shift towards electronic mobility? And I want to understand your thoughts also based on this.
Yes, definitely. I think, to be honest, when we hear about the EV segment changing from IC engine to EV side of the business or the market, we see a lot of people talking about it. But when it comes to ground reality, we have been interacting with the many OEMs who are manufacturing this EV, or we have been interacting with or trying to collaborate with the dealers who has taken up the EV selling also. But when it comes to adoption or reality, the India is adopting the EV very slow at the moment.
Yeah.
And the reason, the major challenges what users feel right now is, one is about lack of network of charging station. So whenever they purchase, they have a fear that, okay, if I purchase the vehicle, so what if I want to do a long commute, or what if I want to charge in between somewhere? So it's not like a fuel station, right? So you don't have a charging station as such at the moment. Second thing, the biggest thing, which I think the thought process behind any car owner or bike owner who is looking forward to buy EV, it goes with this factor, which is about the battery life and cost. So if you see the battery life of EV vehicle, the battery life is around like 5 years of life of the battery, and the cost of the battery itself is around 45 to 50% of the total vehicle cost.
Right.
So that means after 5 years, you may intend to spend 50% of your original vehicle cost just for the replacement of the battery, or maybe the manufacturer may give you a little benefit to replace the battery with a new one in exchange of old battery. The cost may go down from 45 to 50 to maybe 35 to 40%.
Right.
Again, it's a huge cost. So if you take a car of worth of 10 lakhs, so you are talking about investing of 4 to 5 lakhs after 5 years once again.
Yeah.
But when it comes to IC engine, it doesn't happen. So you drive a vehicle for 10 years and then maybe some engine work, you may spend 30,000-40,000 rupees. Again, you drive the vehicle or you sell the vehicle to someone else. So you keep engaging with vehicle, like you keep the vehicle or you sell it to a good value itself. But when it comes to EV, that doesn't happen. I think that's another biggest reluctant factor from users when they are trying to switch from IC engine to EV. And if I remember, another point probably would be range anxiety. Mm. I think what happens is that once you do a charging, whatever two-wheeler we are talking about, the upcoming two-wheeler also, or the four-wheeler also, they give a range of two-wheeler can give a range of maybe 70 to 120 kilometer per charging. When it comes to four-wheeler, maybe around 200 to 250 kilometer per charge, which is not very good enough for a long drive also for the car. When it comes to car, I think when you buy a car, you will not buy a car for a very short, like a city drive, right? You buy a car so that you can also commute for a longer trip also.
Right.
So considering that one, the range anxiety is another issue which I feel that is the reason that users are not going forward. I mean, in all, as per my understanding, and also I've been observing this industry quite some time now. So as per my study, that by 2030, the India population of the EVs would be only 20% by 2030.
How much you say? 20%?
20%.
Okay.
And by 2050, we may reach to 50% of the total vehicle segments of EV.
Wow. I mean, this is a bit contrasting from what I have been hearing.
Right.
50% is something government is aiming at also. And I've been talking to some of these EV vehicle producers. They're aiming at 50%. But having said that, I agree to most of your points. The EVs are not really meant for speed.
Correct.
EVs are not the kind of, you know, the access points is a big problem in India so far.
Right, correct. Yeah.
And you need to calculate every move, and you might need to spend more time in charging in a transmit, let's say from Hyderabad to Bangalore, which might take some 7 hours.
Right.
It might take 13 or 14 hours also. You need to do a
multiple charging
points, and time is a constraint. That's where, I mean, the point of a commute on your own is actually time saving, and then you are actually spending more time. That's
right.
Actually a big hindrance. What you said is right.
Right.
However, the cost of ownership, correct me if I'm wrong, there are new technologies of batteries coming in right now with EON
right.
or lithium or something. The
right.
batteries, the performance of the batteries will continue to increase. I hope that will actually make a fairer difference, maybe.
Yes. I mean, considering that factor, I think it's going to take at least few years for India
okay.
to get into that charging, like quick charging, maybe like charging in 15 minutes. Or getting into the batteries, which has a high life, maybe like 15 to 20 years of life.
Sure.
So going to that one, it's going to take at least like, I believe that by 2030 for India to take time. Then after that, I think once we have that kind of a technology, a disposable one or fast charging or the program from the manufacturers itself that, okay, the second time replacement after maybe 10 years, 15 years also will not be that high. Everything will eventually, I think, fall in place. But for now, so far progress, so far the industry's movement, what I feel is that the EV is very, very nascent at the moment in terms of adoption also. And when we talk about the volume, right? So you also said about that the automobile worth volume is around 2 trillion at the moment by 2020.
Right.
And when we see about EV so far, it just has a 2 or 3 billion dollar worth of value at the moment. When it compares
right.
with 2 trillion to 2 or 3 billion, it's very, very small percentage. And
and
by 2027, as per the experts' reports or as per the market research, what I have done is that the IC engine will again go from 2 trillion to 10 trillion dollar economy. For the worth
mm-hmm.
of business value, which means that there's a good scope for IC engine also, but eventually slowly the EVs also will take root. But what I feel is that by 2030, we'll have at least like 20% of the vehicle population of EV, may not be more than that.
Mehmood, so this is the kind of a dynamic that we're in now. How do you see the transformation of BM Garage happening now with this thing? So, are you also increasing your skill set to handle the EV and hybrid vehicles also? How do
right.
you see you are getting ready for this entire big change that's happening?
Yeah, I think the change is going to happen. It may take a little longer time, slow growth. When it comes to the adoption of service side of the business, I think we are putting a step towards that because we are in talk with a few of a big EV manufacturers which are going to come up. You might have heard about the name also, few of the things. So who are going to launch two-wheeler, who are going to launch four-wheelers also. So we are in talk with those EV manufacturers because they don't have any plans to open up service centers, right? So they probably will depend on the businesses like us who can provide the services for them. So in terms of, there are two things comes here. So one is about expertise. Do we have that kind of expertise to handle the EV side of the business? So when it comes to maintenance, regular maintenance, I think the EV, when the EV comes into picture, so the engine and the main core part goes away with the motor and the battery, right? So only the maintenance would be there for the brakes or suspensions or wheels. So that something is very common when we compare with any other vehicles of IC engine. So when it comes to electrical stuff, control units or battery or motor, I think there comes a challenge where we earlier we have seen that one of our OEM has asked us to send us some of employees so that they can train our employees for the EV diagnostic to check what is the problem with the EV, if it's not starting, if the battery is discharging very fast, if the control unit is not behaving correctly. So to check all those things, they had asked us to send us the send people from our office to their plant. We had sent them earlier, but there's no market because after that, we did not get any inquiry. They also did not get much sale. So they in between, they closed down the business also. Then again, after they started the business. So I think in terms of adoption on the business side, it won't be a challenge, provided this OEMs also provide a help in terms of giving the knowledge sharing or product technology, product knowledge or product training. But when it comes to regular maintenance, which happens once in a 5,000 kilometer or 10,000 kilometer for mechanical stuff like brakes and all, I think it's not a challenge.
Why Beyond Garage is the right partner for them?
Okay.
I want to hear from you. So we'll start there.
Okay. All right. So I think a lot of users are just like going ahead with a very conventional method of servicing right now. So where they park their weekend or week off time to go to authorized service center or local workshop, spend time there, and then probably get the vehicle service done and come back with a little uncertainty whether the service is done good or not, whether did I pay it right amount or not, why did he charge again when he gave me a different estimation initially. So all those things question the people normally carry back when they come back from the service center. So I think the good part is that it's a good time to shift from all those feelings and go to a non-conventional method of doing servicing where we can come down to your location, do a basic servicing which doesn't need to be taken to a garage, do a servicing at a place itself in front of you, get the part replaced where you can have a option to inspect or have a check continuously about what parts we use, what methods we use. And then when it comes to transparency, so we generate the estimation and the report of the vehicle where which will remain same, where we promise or guarantee that if anything comes above the initial estimation, we take our ownership. You don't need to pay that amount. We do a servicing for you for free or for no additional cost.
Sure.
So those are two things probably where people feel that, okay, I will save time instead of traveling. People can do a free pickup and drop, or they can do a servicing at my location. Transparency will be there with the help of technology, and the report or estimation, the price, what we will be committing, will be sticking to that one.
So what is that you want to give as a tip or an advice to the billion startup owners, enthusiasts who are actually shaping the country right now? From your heart.
Right, understood. So I think the biggest thing which I have seen is that the patience is one of the key area here, I guess. Because in my journey of startup or during my college time also, or from initial my working professional time also, I have seen a lot of people who feels that the result should come immediately. Like I had a few co-founder initially when I started Doers, who also had an understanding that, okay, we should get a results within 6 months or a year. So they couldn't stick with me for a longer time.
Okay.
So I think everyone knows that like startup is like its own child. So it takes some time to grow and then probably help understand, you understand it better, I guess. So I think the patience is something which is very important here, which I feel where we have to be very patient and wait for a good time so that make a continuous a small improvement every day, and I think everything will fall into place eventually.